It's time for Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Quick Calls. I am Mike the Ref, senior engineer here at the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. On this show, we are going to be covering the CWC Aftermatch show from Festival Hall in Red Deer. Now, I want to tell you, folks, if you missed this debut show in Red Deer for the K Wrestling Coalition, you definitely missed out. Not many people did because it was pretty much to capacity there. And some great matches coming out of the last CWC show where it saw Team Stud Stable fall to Team CWC for total control of the Canadian Wrestling Coalition. Great atmosphere, great crowd. Had a blast of a time working with Drew Dawkins in terms of the commentary for the show, which I will talk about later on. But let's get to the matches here because we got some very unique matchups here. Now, right out of the gate, we had T.S. Cutler, who is dying to start getting some tag team victories here because he is looking to get those inaugural tag team championships, which are scheduled to be awarded in September with the Generals Challenge. He managed to tag up with Edmonton SPN favorite Michael Richard Blaze. And folks, if you didn't see Evolution, the last show with the six-man elimination match, and then I believe it was two shows earlier, his match with Drew Dawkins, you're missing out. I know on the network we got a ton of stuff here on MRB, and it seemed like a lot of this rubbed off on T.S. Cutler this match because he performed really well against some very big opponents. It was sort of a odd couple pairing, though, where you have the chairman of CWC, Johnny Kickass, teaming up with the MPW heavyweight champion, a former Ripper champion, but one of the most established tag team wrestlers in Alberta, period, the Irishman. Now, throughout the onset of this match, it looked like Johnny Kickass did not want to have anything to do with the Irishman. Strangely enough, Kickass actually got control majority of the match over Michael Richard Blaze. Tags, though, between the Irishman and Kickass are really shoddy, really in between. No real cohesion between the two team members. And eventually that led to the downfall here. Hot tag goes into T.S. Cutler. He starts getting control of the match temporarily. And then Kickass, once he starts losing control, he decides to go outside and grab his chair. Goes to swing it. Irishman catches it along with referee Derek Law. And in the subsequent argument, T.S. Cutler rolls up Johnny Kickass for the 1-2-3. Now, the Irishman, I know he works as hard as he can to work with his tag team partners, like he has with recently as much with Bulldog McBain, Massive Damage, and numerous other characters that sometimes just don't want to get along with him. But now, at this point, he just gave up. He walked out. After the match, he walked out. Don't blame him one little bit. But Johnny Kickass decides to pull out that chair. And hell, I got it out anyway. I might as well use it. And lays out both T.S. Cutler and Michael Richard Blaze, including a sick DDT from Kickass onto Blaze onto that chair. I don't know when's the next time we're going to be able to see Michael Richard Blaze in action at CWC, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon after that shot. But overall, it was a pretty decent match between these four characters. Let's move on to our next match here. And this match, in many respects, has been one of those indie dream matches that we've been looking for. Guys at different companies that don't get necessarily a chance to work together due to the politics in Edmonton and Calgary. No politics like that in Red Deer. So we got Kato, the Asian Assassin, taking on Aiden Adams. Now, you had the unorthodox Kato taking on the very technically sound Aiden Adams, and this was a tit-for-tat match, folks. Trading shots back and forth, holds and vicious strikes back and forth. The turning point in this match is when Kato decided to untie the buckle, the turnbuckle cover for one of the corners. Took a few moves from there, but eventually Aiden Adams got shot into that corner and his back hit that exposed turnbuckle. Immediately followed up with a backbreaker by Kato, and then turned into a camel clutch, which for some reason I heard some people telling me that it was called the mustache ride. I don't know if I really want that as a finisher hold, but I digress at this point. Aiden Adams had to give up, wasn't able to tap out because his arms were locked up with that camel clutch, or that cobra camel clutch. And the victory goes to Kato here. I'd have to say this was, in my opinion, the match of the night, as it was a one-on-one matchup that really showed the talents of both of these competitors in the ring. I know some people that were at the show might argue with me about this point, but I'll explain it later on here. Let's go to the next match, and it was another tag team match with the newly minted Wrecking Crew, as they're being called. Dynamic Dean Richter and the headline Sean Martins taking on another, I would have to say, mishmash team, but you had Lumberjack Larry, who the last time we saw him was teaming up with the T.S. Cutler and didn't turn out so well, but he got himself a bigger opponent this time, literally, in the Giant Orion. 6 foot, oh my God, 310 pounds, former King of the Cage champion. Wow, if you're going to pick yourself up a partner, that's the one you do it with. This match here, the Orion definitely showed his power amongst everyone. But the Wrecking Crew, they're so mechanical in their attack. Working over the leg of the Orion, trying to keep Lumberjack Larry separated in the ring and isolated. In the end, it ended up being a double team attack on the Orion, sending him to the outside, which eventually you had the Wrecking Crew come up with a belly to backside suplex slash neck breaker tandem move. If you guys want a mental image here, think of the Team 3D when they went up, not for the Dudley Death Drop, but their tandem suplex combo there with the neck breaker. You'll be able to see it on Evolution, folks, for a little better definition. I'm calling it a car crash because the Wrecking Crew is just looking for a big car crash to end it. I'll have to talk to the guys to see what they want to call it. So, but be it as it may, it was a 1-2-3 victory. And I honestly think the Wrecking Crew, as much as the General may not like any members of the Stud Stable, he's got to seriously consider these guys for the finals of the Tag Team Invitational to crown the first ever champions. These guys are solidly on a roll, and it wasn't their fault they lost the 3-on-3 match, but I don't want to rub it in too much to the CWC champion at this point. So, but going on from there, we almost hit intermission, but this ended up being a breaking point in the match, or in the night, where you had Skylar Paris-Austin come out and cite page 87 of the commissioner's rulebook, stating that if commissioner contacts a wrestler, he is automatically fired. Those that checked out the last show of Evolution with that 3-on-3 match, apparently a provision in the contract for them to, for the Stud Stable to partake in that 3-on-3 match, all four competitors had to sign up wrestling contracts. So Therefore, during that match, Skyler Paris Austin was an active wrestler. And my God, did Gordon hit him with a clothesline? But hitting him with that clothesline cost him his job. So basically, we got to the point where Gordon was about to walk out. Thinks better of it, and he's a very smart commissioner. If he's going to go out, he's going to go out with a bang. Asks him if he could be fired twice to Austin. All of a sudden, the lights pick up in Austin's brain there, if he has, never mind. Gets hit with a second clothesline. Crowd went absolutely ballistic. And then the general announces that immediately following intermission, you're going to see Skyler Paris Austin in action, since he is a wrestler, taking on Jack Pride. And folks, I don't think you can head into intermission with a bigger announcement than that. That is going to be an amazing match, I thought. So you got your intermission, and you're coming back. You got Austin coming out in a, I don't know if it was a flesh-colored or a straight fuchsia pink-colored one-piece amateur wrestling uniform. And Dynamic Dean Richter, who accompanied him ringside, as well as Sean Martins, actually was smart enough to provide him with one of those amateur concussion helmets where you see karate fighters and whatnot. They'll have those to protect their head so they can prevent extra concussions and whatnot at a younger age. I guess the protection is well worth it. Need to get one of those up to Thaddeus Archer and some other promotions here, but I digress at that point. But Jack Pride, full of confidence, but something just didn't look right here when you have the Wrecking Crew at ringside too. And throughout this match, Jack Pride had to fight through the entire Wrecking Crew to get to Skyler Paris Austin here. He manages to overcome the odds at that point, and eventually the referee, who is young Cody from MPW fame, ends up catching the Wrecking Crew, Sean Martins, of grabbing Pride's leg and kicking him out of ringside. Which, let's face it, that's the right call. That should have been done at the beginning of the match, but that's a point amongst itself. So as the Wrecking Crew's leaving, the other member of the stud stable, Chris Parrish, he came in through the back entrance, jumps over the guardrail, and gives Jack Pride the parachute in the middle of the ring, and Skyler Paris Austin wakes up, drapes an arm over, and yes, folks, I am not making this up. 1, 2, 3. Skyler Paris Austin, from here, from now, forever, can say that he has a victory over Jack Pride. Now, I've been very critical of Pride on this. I understand there was 3-on-1, 4-on-1, whatever. There comes a point where you got a guy like Skyler Paris Austin in the ring that's an absolute, let's face it, he's maybe a third of my weight and has the only experience he has in wrestling is about 6 months of managing here. So it really pains me to see that he's coming up with these excuses. Oh, it's 3-on-1. It's 4-on-1. You know what? Sometimes you got to buck up these excuses and you just got to get the win. A guy like Austin, you make quick work of him and get out of there. The longer this match went, the more that it cost him there. And from what you're going to hear at the end of the show, he's got a chance to redeem himself here big time. But I really question if he's got the, I don't want to say the heart because he's got the heart of it, but just the willingness to do whatever it takes to get to that next level. It's not necessarily being clean that's going to get you that title, but I'm going to get to that after the last match here. From there, we went on to our main event, We got Chris Parrish, Takey God, Dylan Stove for the CWC Championship. Now, those that caught the Last Evolution show saw how Chris Parrish basically was handed the CWC Championship after Drew Dawkins was torn apart with a knee injury, and he's going to be out. We're looking somewhere around February to March by the time he's going to come back. Talking with Jude before the show, the most recent update says he might be around roughly around next time where the Canada Cup starts. But there's not even a guarantee that's going to happen here. So, but Chris Parrish just walks in, heads in his Canada Cup guaranteed title shot, gets the belt, and that's where we get this match from. Dylan Stone in the 3-on-3 match ends up pinning Chris Parrish for the victory. And thanks to your fan voting on the CWC webpage, he manages to get a title shot as he was the one chosen to take on Chris Parrish in this matchup. Now, this was a match that proved that both of these guys could go. Both of these guys deserve this spot. Dylan, a former champion himself, hanging with a guy that is part of the PWI 500. Very respectable on both ends here. And this match was completely a pick-em to the point where I honestly think Dylan Stone had a very sensible chance of winning this matchup. But then all of a sudden the turning point happens when there was a whip into the corner attempt by Stone, gets reversed by Parrish, and Stone ends up going into the corner into referee Derek Law. So eventually Stone gets back in the ring, gets everything back organized under his favor, hits the Saturday Night Special, as he calls it, which is his flying knee into the face of Chris Parrish. He get the pit, has the pin down, but there's no referee. Eventually, referee Cody comes out, and after a second Saturday Night Special by Stone, ends up getting the 1-2-3. However, the foot was on the rope for Chris Parrish, allowing basically the pin shouldn't have counted, but everybody was handing out the belt. Referee Derek Law saw this, and since he was the originally scheduled referee, as well as the senior referee at the event, he demanded that this match continue. Now, all this confusion's going on, the confetti's getting thrown to the ring, which I'm going to get to later as well. Out of nowhere, you had a new person to CWC, but not new to this network or to Alberta Wrestling, former MPW heavyweight champion Maniac, gets in the ring, hits an impaler DDT on Dylan Stone, and Chris Parrish sends Stone over to the ring apron, hits that parachute on apron, that deadly maneuver that I honestly think is the deadliest maneuver in Alberta right now. Just by the location and the impact of that move, I personally am going to try and talk to the authorities to see if we get that move banned. But it was Academic at that point, rolled him in and got the 1-2-3, and retaining the title was Chris Parrish. I would say a hell of a match, just a horrible ending because of what happened with Maniac showing up. I'm sure this isn't the last we've seen of Maniac at CWC. But following the match, there was a beatdown of Dylan Stone just completely laying him out, with eventually finishing up with the struggles finishing maneuver known as Help. It's basically a heart attack with a running knee instead of the clothesline. Jack Pryde comes out to ringside to save him, but throws a ladder in the ring to get rid of the guys. As far as I'm concerned, hey, grab whatever you can and try and break it up however way you can. But all of a sudden, Commissioner Gordon comes out. Well, I guess Mr. Gordon, I guess the way you call it, because I thought he wasn't the commissioner anymore. Bob grabs the mic, comes in, and says, in his contract, he is still the commissioner until midnight. And therefore, he identifies that he's going to make one last match. It is going to be for the CWC Championship, August 12th, at the King of the Mountain show. It is going to be Chris Parrish versus Jack Pride in a huge ladder match. Now, can Pride prove that he will do anything under the sun to get that title? Or will Chris Parrish, who is, as of this recording, he is 6 of 7 in ladder matches. He is a master of the ladder match. So I definitely, Pride is going to be the underdog in this matchup, but he's got a lot to prove in this matchup here. And I really do think he has the heart and the willingness to do it. It's just, is he willing to bring it out? So, but overall, I would have to say it was a great show. Before I get to my highlights and my surprise of the night, I got to bring up one issue for any of the fans that are listening to this podcast. I am talking with the CWC officials about this. Fans are creating a bit of an unsafe atmosphere in the rig. This got to go back to the Canada Cup Finals between Chris Parrish and Jack Pride. Now, a tradition there is to throw streamers into the rig. Some fans, unfortunately, didn't get the memo that streamers are actually one piece of paper, and they decided to pick up some confetti. So now we're at the point where confetti is being thrown in the rig to start the night, and it actually is creating an unsafe work environment for the wrestlers because it's so easy to slip on that. And not only that, apparently there was some damage to the floor of the facility due to the overall dampness in the building combined with the material that made those confetti. So we need to get those banned, simply put. So folks, if you're planning on bringing streamers in, make sure they're the one-piece streamers. If they're confetti, there is a high possibility you might get tossed from future shows for that. But you know what? Let's get away from the negative. Let's get to the positive here. I'm going to say my highlight of the night. It was going to go to the main event until that ending there with Mariah coming in the ring. As much as I appreciate the debut of him, I'm going to move it to the Kato Aiden Adams match. That one there is an indie dream match in many respects. And outside of some skullduggery from Kato, at least it was done by him, and it was a one-on-one match with a one-on-one finish. And both of these talents are next level. And if you could find an opponent to push Kato the way that Aiden Adams did tonight, you're going to see a true talent of what the Asian Assassin is. And Aiden Adams, I don't know if he's going to be back in the CWC at this point. I know that he's making some plans to take out certain titles here coming up this Saturday. But if he's back, great. If not, I wish him all the best in all his matches, hell, across the world. And I expect great things out of Aiden Adams here. So now for the surprise of the night. Well, once again, I probably could have put Maniac here, but let's face it, folks. I don't care what anybody says. The biggest surprise of the night, we have Skylar Paris Austin as an undefeated wrestler. He is 1-0, undefeated in CWC, with a victory over Jack Pride. I am sorry, but that just, it feels dirty to say, but I pretty much think the entire crowd was shocked by that result there. So, but that's going to wrap up the review of the show. Just want to let you guys know, in terms of Evolution, both episodes of Evolution will not be up before the next CWC show, the King of the Mountain show, on August 12th. Typically, the CWC Evolution shows are going up every 2 weeks. So you're going to be able to see the two tag matches, as well as the Kato and Aiden Adams match coming up next week. I'm going to say probably around the 10th. Join me and the Cheetah Bear Jute Dawkins as we call the matches from the Festival Hall at Red Deer. The next one with Skylar Paris Austin versus Jack Pride and the heavyweight title match will be going up in another 2 weeks following that. So, other than that, that's it for all CWC things related here. Just letting you guys know on the network, of course, I'm sure Chris Parrish and Maniac are going to be gloating to no end about this victory here on their next podcast, The Sounds of Struggle 34, which should drop Thursday morning. Wednesday night, Thursday morning is when they usually go down. Then, of course, check out the Danimal Daniel Jobber, as he talks about all things 205 Live and Cruiserweight. He's got a hell of a one coming up here with Arya Daivari and Akira Tozawa fighting for who's going to take on Neville at SummerSlam. So that's going to be a heck of an episode. Our next Quick Calls episode is going to be coming from the Alberta Avenue Hall in downtown Edmonton, as Monster Pro Wrestling puts on their first ever Renegade Memorial Tag Team Tournament as they crown new Renegade Tag Team Champions. They have been running their Tag Team Tournament for numerous years, but this tournament is now dedicated to the memory of former Commissioner Nelson Mayer, a Hall of Famer in MPW. So. And, of course, if time permits, I will throw up a blow call show here and there. Other than that, make sure you check out Evolution and anything else that comes up on our YouTube page. Just check out Edmonton Sports Podcast Network on YouTube. I got some little surprises coming up on another format that we have. Don't forget, folks, pick up our shirts at whatamaneuver.net. The exact link is in the show notes. We got the Front Row Mafia shirts, the Struggle shirts, the One World Empire retro shirts, as well as the Danimal shirts, which actually are our top seller right now. So don't miss out on those. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at MikeTheRef, Instagram, MikeTheRefEDM. My email is theblowcallshow@gmail.com. But I'm going to wrap this up right now saying, if you're going to make a good call, make a quick call. And this has been Quick Calls covering the CWC Aftermatch show from Festival Hall in Red Deer here on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
This has been Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Contact us on Facebook or check out EdmontonSPN.podbean.com.